Welcome to the Boost Podcast with me, Graham Farmer. It's been a while. I'm sorry. The school holidays and homeschooling has took over my life for a little while. And just having time with my daughter while she's been off from school in this lockdown period. I hope you're well. I know we haven't spoken for a while, so I hope you've been getting well. I hope you've been crushing your goals this year. We can start the podcast again for the autumn-winter season. And I've started with a good one. This time I welcome my friend Ardland to the podcast. Ardland is obviously from the Dirty Bird Camp. If you've not heard of him, go and check him out. He had an album out last year called Mr. Good. Myself and Ardland have been friends for a long time. We did a data transmission party called Rumpus Roof back on March 17th of 2013, a long time ago in Miami. So we've been friends since then. Whereas crazy times. We in this podcast we spoke about his album Mr. Good, which came out actually in 2019, and also his new remix album, which came out in June of 2020. I asked him about his top tips for producers. I asked him about his mistakes and how what he learned from them. And generally, we just chatted about what he'd been up to and what's coming next for Ardland. So let's jump into this. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and this will be the return of the podcast weekly now. Let's jump into it.
How are you hanging in the lockout right now?
Do you know what? We're all right. Like, I've worked from home for like 8 years, so...
Yes.
Like, it's nothing new to me. Like I feel like I've been training for lockout for like last 8 years.
I know, right? No, I went on a six-month tour and literally finished my tour, and then the lockout started. So for me, it's like vacation.
I haven't been home in so long.
So I'm actually enjoying being home a lot and not being in the airport and stuff.
Have you been making lots of music in this lockout?
Lots of music. I'm actually doing lots of remixes, and now I'm finishing up two more remixes, and then I'm just going to start a whole new, now that I'm done my album, doing the remix album and all that stuff, I'm just going to make some crazy weird stuff. Cool. Catering to, like, you know, probably create my own new music label, record label.
Cool.
And releasing on like my friends' labels and, you know, maybe more European labels. Just to, like, you know, make more dynamic. I want to just now, like, spread my wings.
Yeah, I feel like you need to have your label these days to be like... Like, you can't get to the top of the Dirty Bird because Claude's always going to be sat there. So you have to have your own thing that you're then the top at, and then people come below you.
Exactly. And I want to just, you know, I just want to be an artist that's not like, that's just, you know, has its own entity. And I feel like, you know, like my sound just, I make a lot of different things. I like a lot of different things. And I just want to, you know, create a new audience for myself, or even people, you know, that, like, or, you know, they think they've heard of me, they haven't.
Yeah,
I just want to surprise everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's let me formally start this podcast, and then I feel like we were just going to carry on and going and rant, and I'll be like, yeah. I'll get to the end of it and go, shit, I'm gonna start this podcast.
I know, we just literally did the whole interview.
Today on the podcast, I welcome Ardland. Hello, my friend. Thank you for joining me. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm amazing. I've been homeschooling all day today, which is tough, as you can imagine.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. Tough. Great. But fun. Tough but lots of fun. How has lockdown been for you? I know we just chatted about it a bit previously, but
it's been weird, as it has been for everyone on this planet, but I've been blessed to live where I am in San Francisco. I'm super close to, like, all the parks, the ocean. So I've just been taking time and just biking, cycling, just like many others, and just working on music, playing lots of video games.
Nice.
Friends. So keeping myself sane and healthy.
Have you been on the live stream game?
Yeah, I have, actually. I've done a couple. And it's really fun. I really like the fact that, like, I can just, now that I've had this, I know how to, before when like the whole thing came up, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. This is like, this is so hard. But like, I did one for Fault Radio, and the person who runs Fault Radio literally helped me for 1 hour and gave me all the settings and everything. And that, like, he was like, it took me 6 months to learn that. And since then, I just have had everything, the settings and everything, right? And I just go on, turn it on, and do one.
What's your platform of choice?
I'm using OBS. I like it.
And to Facebook or Twitch or
Mixcloud? Well, I did one with Desert Hearts 2 weeks ago for Twitch. Nice. I did a disco. It was really cool because I did it like a disco set, and it was during the SpaceX launch. My set was during that, and a lot of people were tuning into both. And sick. The song that I had, like, it worked really well. It was like a disco song. It's saying like, "I'll see you when I get there," and I was like going up. It was like so cool.
Oh, but amazing.
But I'm a little like sad about this whole because I was gonna start doing like Instagram live, streams just out of the blue, like not even promote it.
Yeah.
But I think with like Instagram and now Twitch, there's copyright issues, so it's like really hard to like play other people's music now. And I know it's like bittersweet because I feel like I could just do my own Renegade whenever I want on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
I still think you can get away with it if you're playing like, because you must have a load of music that's A, not on big labels, B, that is from just your mates that's not been released yet.
Yeah.
Then you'd get away with it.
That's a good way. It's like, you know, the more underground your set is, the less you'll get caught. So if you're playing all the top 40 shit, then you're bound to like not, you know, do it. So I think it also gives you, I think I'm going to start like do a stream where it's just all 100% my own unreleased stuff. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then you're completely free and you can do that wherever you like, you know?
It's exactly. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad about that. That's cool. I'd love to know what that disco track was. I'm a big disco fan.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. I have it. Yeah. I'll send you the set as well. It was really fun doing it. I just love, the thing is, I love playing every type of music. I can't just play one type of music as many, you know. It's just, for me, it's like, it helps me, like, it's just so fun, you know. It's like playing different types of video games.
Yes,
that's how I've been playing so much video games. I feel like that's the only thing I can like relate to. But I actually just did like a drum and bass mix for the first time ever.
Oh, amazing. We're big fans. Wow.
Yeah, and it was my first time ever, and I was like wow, I was so nervous because I was recording it, and but it just turned out so, I'm like, the mixing is kind of different the way you do house, but it's so fun. Like, you can do like, it's amazing. I was like, wow, this is like, it's a new language, and I really love it. I was enjoying it more than being nervous after like tracks.
So did you have that nervous just press record thing, and then you were like, I must not fuck this mix up.
I did that, and then I was recording on camera as well, so I have a video version of it. And my cat was running around in my room, and he was like biting on the foam, and I was like, yeah, get out. So while in a mix, I feel like the chaos kind of like gave me this like momentum of just like doing it right. I feel like for me, I'm the type of person that needs like stress to make things work better. Like, you know, I'm a very last minute, like, all right, there's a deadline for this, and it works. So I feel like I work better when there's a storm around me.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. Like, have you seen the Kink playing jungle mixes? They're just as good, man. They're hilarious.
Oh my god. Yeah, I love his approach because he just does everything improvised. Sometimes he even on Instagram, you know, he's always messing with new gear, and but I haven't seen his jungle stuff. Actually.
Yeah, check on YouTube. He's done a jungle mix. It's incredible.
Oh my god, yeah, he's amazing. He's so amazing. It's crazy.
So I wanted to just chat about the album, because I know we've not spoke about it, and I know you probably spoke about it loads and probably can roll it off in seconds. But I thought we'd like, I love the album, and fair play on, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Can we just sort of chat about it briefly? Tell us about it. Tell us about some of the if there's any stories behind any of the tracks or anything that's, you know, that will help our listeners learn more about making albums.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I thought I was at a point, I was like, you know what, I want to make an album before I turn 30. And I wasn't like, oh, I have to make one before I turn 30. But I was just at a point in like my career where I feel like I needed to, you know, express myself and express my sound. And I thought it would be really fun to do an album and a challenge, you know. And was a territory that I never thought I would, you know, be able to fulfill, because I'm usually, when I make music, I just have so much fun making music in the process in the studio that I just sometimes get sick of the tracks and never finish it. But then I was like, you know what, I want to make an album. I talked to Barkley, to Claude, and he's like, you know what, if you want to make an album, if you really want to do it, you want to release it on Dirty Bird, like try and make 50 loops every day for me and send it to me.
Whoa.
So I did that. I was like, you know what, that's kind of, he's like, that was kind of, and the funny thing was, he's like, and then pick your favorite loops out of that. Well, I did that, and I ended up, the funny thing is, I ended up just not using it, like, any of those loops, and just ended up creating a, like, everything new. I just made everything new. And the thing is the track Mr. Good on the album,
yeah,
that I was like, this is my single, I need to make a statement with it. So it took me like 9 months to make that track.
Whoa.
And there's people like my buddy Saper, he can make a track like this, like that. For me, like, I got to this like dark place, and where I was like, I don't know, like, how to finish the song. I'm stuck, like, you know, I want this to be perfect. And like, I just realized, I'm like, you know what, this is not the right mentality. You gotta just make it and go through with it. But yeah, I spent like 6 months on it, and I was like, man, I'm gonna be sick of it by the end of it. But it's like one of the tracks that I play the most in my sets, and it's been really fun. And I had Party Patty on it, who I had before with Justin Martin on Function.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm just gonna involve all, you know, my friends and in the album, keep it in the family. So like with, like, you know, the vocals and stuff. But yeah, so the idea behind the album Mr. Good is you know, just the idea of, like, you know, we all make mistakes, you know, and but there's a Mr. Good in all of us, you know. It applies to everything in the world, you know, like we all make mistakes, but there's a way to, like, be good, you know, like. And also, you know, it went deep into that spectrum of, like, what I thought, you know, was good. You know, what is it to be a Mr. Good? You know, I'm all like, you know, that we all have that moment in our life. So it was Mr. Bad and everything. The thing is that I feel like the album is about making the album.
Yeah.
Because I spent like so much time just working on this one song. And then after I was done with it, I ended up making the rest of the album in like a month and a half. And
that's crazy.
And then we ended up picking I Can't Wait for the single. Mm. And the story behind I Can't Wait was, when I was working on Mr. Good, my girlfriend came to my door, and she came through my door. She opened my studio. She's like, Artie, I really can't wait for you to fucking finish this album. Okay. Like, let's go watch what we're watching. Oh yeah. Game of Thrones. Because I kept being like, oh, babe, I gotta work. She's like, I can't wait any longer. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna, can you just say that in my studio? She would just say it on vocals. I mean, on the microphone, this microphone right here.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just made it out of that. And when I sent the demos in, Barkley was like, this is the single. So I was like, after all this time of working on this other track, we picked the other one. But you know, it was beautiful because, when I started touring, I ended up playing, like, I never got sick of playing my music, because I usually get really sick of, like after I work on my tracks, I just don't want to play them because I just want to play a DJ set, play different music. But I was just having so much fun, and like the fans and the dance floor, everyone was just so like receptive to it. And it was just so beautiful. And it just gives me this grateful feeling of, you know, doing what I can do, obviously before COVID. But yeah. it's just great when you know the reception I got from the album, and I just, especially from the fans, people sending me videos of like their kids dancing to it, and I love that, and it was really cool.
Did you find a new resolve, I guess, making it, spending so long on a track? How long, like I'm saying, you're saying the other tracks came out so quickly, and a lot of producers that listen to this work so fast on music. Did you find something new inside yourself that when you were spending so long on a track that
I did?
You learned some stuff.
I actually read this article that was talking about how perfection is kind of like self-harm, basically. It's like a psychologically self-harm. It's the same as like, it's kind of like, it's a type of procrastination, I guess, which is fine. You know, like I think for me, like, I just went really deep in my mind. I was like, you know what? It's okay. Because every time I thought about trying to work on this track, I was like, okay, I'm going to procrastinate. I'm just going to go play soccer. I'm going to, like, not do this until I really feel comfortable. And that's the way I work. It just has to, you know, it really, like, it's hard for me to, like, get up in the morning. And I don't have the best, like, work dynamic. But I just realized, like, you know what? I'm just going to power through and be like, okay, this sounds good. And in the end, it did. And I did work really hard on it. And the hard work was, you know, it showed in its own way, because I feel like I actually I have like about 260 versions of Mr. Good.
No way.
Yeah. And like, it got like, I had a really dark version, and then like, also really helped me like sending my music for feedback. I was always scared of getting feedback, because I'm like, oh, this track is done, I don't want to change it, but I needed it. So it really helped. That really helped the process. But also, like, leaving things as is was really perfect. Like, it's perfect in its own way, you know? You can make everything completely perfect. But the track was Mr. Good. I have like about, like, on the file, I have about like 60 channels.
Nice.
Which is a lot for me, yeah, for like a house track, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really, I was trying to do something kind of inventive, you know? I wanted to make a track that was kind of rock and roll in a way, you know, but like,
yeah, yeah,
but like housey, you know, just like fuck it, you know, like, just like, let's just like, let's go. But yeah, it turned out it was really fun. And then the rest of the tracks, I had this energy of like, oh my god, I can work on something new that I just want, bam, boom, 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 boom. And during the process of making the album, I was buying lots of hardware and gear and all that stuff, and I wasn't using a lot of it, and I'm like, you know what, there's no point for me to have all this gear here and not use it. So I ended up just using everything in my studio on everything on the tracks. I mean, not on every track, but just on, yeah, the whole album. And it was awesome. It was great. I love like finding new ways to make music and like going deep into like, you know, trying new ways and all that stuff. And that's the most important thing, is to have fun, honestly.
Did you plot the album out? Did you say, right, it's going to be this amount of tracks, I know I want these type of tracks on it, I know I want this sort of vibe for one track, and I want this sort of thing for another one? Did you kind of plan that in your head or on paper beforehand, and or did you just, yeah, kind of let it go?
So I did, like, I was like, you know what, this is my first album and it's coming out on Dirty Bird, and I want it to be I was like, this is going to be a party album. But also, it's going to be, I want it to be also like an emotional listening experience.
Yeah.
And also a dance, like, also, you know, like working on a dance floor, but also making people think here and there. And so I combined those, and I had tracks where I'm like, okay, this, I want this to be really banging. And then, but also tracks where I just want it to be kind of, you know, showing the more, you know, cerebral side of me in some ways, I guess, like the more weirder side of me. So, like, for example, like, I'm a huge fan of minimal house and anything that's like all the micro housey, like stuff that came out in the mid 2000s in Europe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really wanted to like showcase that side of me, because that's what I got into before anything else. Actually, it's funny, I got into like IDM and drum and bass, and then I got into house music, and then I got into minimal, and then I found Dirty Bird, yeah, in 2007, and blah blah blah. And we're here now. But but yeah, so I was like, for the track Zombie Village, I wanted to do something that was just kind of had to have those vibes where it's not necessarily like just banging, and but it's kind of fat, pH fat, but yeah, also, yeah, like thinking. And like, yeah, I had an SB1200 that I bought like 2 years ago, and I was like, okay, I need to figure out a way to, because I went to Detroit, and my buddy Chuck Daniels, amazing DJ producer, he made me a floppy disk of all the samples that he worked on, and which is pretty dope. It sounds super 90s talking about.
I love that. I love a floppy disk.
Yeah, yeah. So I had the floppy disk. I put it in the SP1200. Started messing with it, and basically the kick on that track. And the bit is the SP1200. I was like, I want to make this track fully like analog, and like the bass line was Juno 106, and like I did weird stuff with the Moog Moog, and yeah, and I was like, okay, this is tight. And then my girlfriend came home like drunk after work, and I was like, where were you? She says, I was at this bar called Zombie Village. I was like, cool, I'm gonna call my track that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so
yeah, saying about random things, I found my mini disc player the other day. So I've got my I found like an all my old mini discs.
Oh my god, that's awesome. I love it. Everything physical. You know, like I was thinking actually for my like it's I know how vinyl is so expensive to like press and everything. I think I'm gonna just press CDs. Not press. I mean just start making CDs again, you know?
And
just
put them on Bandcamp.
Yeah, which is a lot of people are doing the CD thing, you know, they were doing the cassette thing, but I think the CD thing is still cool, you know. Just I just need to have something physical in my hand, you know, that like that I've made or like, you know, it's just being, I guess, like you know, mid-millennial kid, you know, you I've always dreamed of having like, you know, an LP or like I'm just having like a, my own vinyl, obviously, but obviously in the future with future tracks I will, but yeah,
I was thinking about doing an acid house label and just recording it all on mini disc and put them on Bandcamp just for fun. Just for
that'd be awesome. I mean, it's a really cool way to like. It's honestly, it's like obviously cheaper than pressing vinyl. I mean, I don't know what the environmental factors are about pressing vinyl. I love vinyl. I play vinyl, but it's so expensive these days to like press.
Yeah.
And mini disc is I'm down.
I'll be send cool you one.
Imagine if you make like a mini disc and it has like videos on it. People can put in the camcorder.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that about Mr. Good, that it's about mistakes. And I put one of these questions for later, but it seems right to put it in now. I'm really interested in what your biggest mistakes are and how you got through them. And if you've kind of changed along the way.
Very good question. I guess
because I think because everyone always talks about like the biggest like their biggest things they've succeeded in. I'm like, I feel like you learn more from your mistakes.
Totally. I think my biggest mistake, I'm trying to think of one really big. Probably, I think circling back, one of the biggest mistakes was thinking of. Like, for example, in music and like music production, trying to perfect everything, being a perfectionist. I think that was my biggest mistake. And I fulfilled it with this album. This album, like basically, like I like going back to it again, it's, you know, trying to like learn from your mistakes in some ways and, you know, being a Mr. Good. Because, you know, we all have a Mr. Bad or Mrs. Bad in us. You know, people make mistakes. And I think it's good to become, you know, be a new person, you know, learn from it. But yeah, I think one of my biggest mistakes was trying to be a perfectionist and also, you know, just being negative about like other things, like in terms of like, you know, like I'm like, yeah, you know, this EDM sucks, all that, you know, like this music sucks. And like, I feel like if I have an opinion, you know, and like, I don't like, there's no point to like, you know, bringing something negative out. If people are making that type of music, it's because they don't want to, you know? You know, we all have this like snob, like thing, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I feel like I was a very big, like, you know, chin stroking kind of like, I'm like, no, this is, I think that was my biggest mistake. And I've learned that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, like, so yeah, my biggest, going back to my, I think my biggest mistake was trying to be a perfectionist and not being, and by that, I was unable to like finish a lot of music that I really wanted to. So I feel like that was my biggest mistake. My second biggest mistake was waking up really late and not moving my car and getting a street cleaning ticket. So yeah, we have a lot of street cleaning in San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Do they take your car away?
No, I mean, if you don't pay it after five times, like they'll put a boot on your car, and if you don't pay for the boot, then they take it.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah. I think one of the biggest mistakes maybe is, it's funny because I'm trying to say like my biggest mistake was I drank so much I missed my flight, but I never missed my flight ever. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, but like, knock on wood.
No, neither have I.
Yeah,
I don't understand how these people do it, because I like even when I've been like had an hour sleep, I'll still set the alarm and wake up and still just sort my shit out and get to the plane.
Yeah, for me, like I just have this mentality even when I was like completely drunk and just I'm like, Artie, you have one fucking job to do. make the gig. That's the only job you have, is to make it.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, what else can you do? Like, you know?
In fact, after we left, I think in Miami that time, I literally slept. I got on the plane in Miami and I fell asleep because I've just made it. And then I got tapped on the I fell asleep before I took off. Someone tapped me on the shoulder. And the next thing was the next thing I know. And they were like, we're in New York. And I'd missed whole up, down, and everything.
Oh my God, that's happened to me. I'm getting anxiety thinking about those type of flights. Like, oh my God, whoa. Like, you're at an after party till 6 a.m. and then you go into the airport. And like, and that's the one thing about, I know we're going off, but like one thing about, like, you know, being a DJ, you know, you're going to this amazing, amazing energy, like in a club or like a party where it's like all this great energy. And then you leave and you go to the airport. Like, if it's early in the morning, which is the worst case, it's just, you know, you're in a different energy. You know, everyone's stressed out. Everyone's like, like you're in like the general public now. And I feel like that was like, for me, that was like a big mental like change, you know? And I feel like one of my biggest mistakes was probably not sleeping a lot, actually. And now I'm getting more sleep. And I feel like that is important. Sleep is important.
Do you feel healthier from it?
Yeah, I've lost 15 pounds since COVID. And it's probably from just, you know, I'm honestly just not, I think the traveling is, and the eating out is the biggest part of it, mostly. Not necessarily just not sleeping or anything, but I think it's just because I eat at home mostly now. And my girlfriend like makes really good food because I'm a shit cook. So, but I think, biggest mistake is trying to be a perfectionist. And second biggest mistake is not getting enough sleep. But I think I've slept enough now that once everything goes back to normal, I'm about to rage it up and not sleep. Make more mistakes.
Great. Let's talk about remixes. You have a new remix album coming out. You've mentioned before you've been doing lots of remixes. I wanted to talk about how you take on remixes, what you look for, and maybe why you would say yes or no to an opportunity.
The two things that I look into when I do a remix is obviously the parts. And for me, the way I make my remixes, I just make a completely new track. Like I completely make a new song and I just use the parts that I really like in there, obviously, to make the remix. I just put my own take on it. I produce every music like in a way where it's like I wanted to bring my originality to the track, and obviously as a remix, and I just rework it basically. Like when I'm making the projects, I basically like put, now that you can group projects with Ableton, I just basically completely just put everything that's in the remix in one group, and I like call it like the person who I'm remixing, and then and then I just make a completely new track, which I'm basing it off all the parts of the remixes, and then I combine them together. So basically I just try and make a new song with the parts.
Right.
So because I've also done edits and stuff. For example, I'm doing a remix right now for Pesner, and he was like, just do an edit of it, you know, like mix it up. But when I tried doing an edit, I just ended up just wanting to make a completely new like beat out of it. So I like putting my own interpretations to a point where it's, you know, I just love making new original like ideas out of something that's out of a remix, because I feel like, you know, if someone wants to have me remix their track, you know, they probably want me to like, they probably want like, you know, an Artelon kind of sound, but sometimes I just, you know, I just completely try and like, you know, surprise myself in some ways. Cause, but yeah, like the most important thing is like the parts, like, can I do something with it? But like in the past, I've taken, you know, remixes where I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know how I can do this part. I was like, okay, yes, yes, yes. I said yes to have remixes, but I feel like that was a good thing because that kind of like trained me to like really like get to a point where I can almost remix anything, you know, make something out of it. Like it makes you more creative. So for me, like now I pick parts that give me, that make me feel like I can do something creative with them. You know, there's interesting parts here and there. So yeah, basically I like making a completely new track out of a remix.
Is there any artist we'd love to remix?
Yes. Honestly, like one of my favorite artists, probably like James Holden or Nathan Fake or anything from Border Community. Like all that like early to mid 2000s kind of stuff. That's like stuff that I really like, pretty much like I got me inspired to make electronic music. So yeah.
That'd be cool. I like all that stuff. That was like mid 2000s as well, wasn't it? There was like, yeah, that was going on the same time as the micro house thing was going on as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the micro house and the prog house.
It was all kind of the same. It was like it was prog house and then micro house and prog house and now it's melodic techno and that deep tech sound. Yeah. It's like the same like, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually talking to Sapere a while back, and we're like, wow, that era where like it was so awesome, like that, like it was just like everything kind of got mixed up together, like that balance, the Balance 5 by James Holden, that's like one of the mixes that really like got me into like, you know, weird electronic music. So but yeah, I would love to do any like remixing, like a lot of those stuff that like pretty much got me into this world, this realm, as we say.
And then talking about the album, the remix album, did you have input into who was remixing it? Did you kind of choose those, or
yes, how did that work? I did actually. It took me a while because I was like, you know, I wanted to get like some of my friends on there, and also some people that haven't released on Dirty Bird, and some people that I think, you know, deserve some recognition. And it was a mix of just getting homies and people that I really, really wanted to work with or have. So I combined it and just went. It was harder than I thought, like getting everyone that I want.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that some people, you know, were down, and it made me really happy because I never had anyone really do remixes of my track as much.
Oh, really?
Like not that often, because I don't know why. But I never got the chance. So for me, this was really cool to see, because I'm always remixing. I feel like I remix so many tracks. So it was nice to like have it the other way, the other way around. And there's people that like, I was like, I wanted people that I'm really feeling like, that's not necessarily just house music, but also like maybe like more electro Detroit stuff or like ghetto. Like I wanted to get a little bit of everything on this remix album and do something different, so it just caters to like different areas of electronic music in some ways, or like, you know, between house, techno, and electro and breakbeats. So and drum and bass.
Nice.
So I asked, you know, obviously the Martin Brothers. I was really stoked because, you know, they're one of the first, Justin and Christian, some of the first people that I heard when I got into Dirty Bird. When I heard Dirty Bird, I heard their mixes, and it was awesome to have them remix it and do their take. And then I was like, you know, maybe I want to get people that could really get some sonic, amazing sonic sounds and energy into it. And Kyle Watson was down to do it, and he crushed it with the Oski remix in that sense. Like, it just sounds so crazy and big. And then I, obviously Justin J. It was great. I mean, I have this guy named Garnu from Vancouver who makes really, really, really sick, like electro-y, kind of like fast ghetto tech electro vibes. And so, and then obviously having Archie Hamilton do a remix was really awesome. I'm super happy he did it, and it's so great. Really love his music. So
he's such a talent.
He is. Yeah, it's unbelievable talent. So yeah, it was really dope. So and it was cool. It's just cool to see like how everyone just used the parts and for my album. And because what I did is I just basically sent them like, because sometimes when people send remixes, they probably just send like a couple parts of the remixes and not the whole thing. Like, I'm assuming, because sometimes I hear like when I got a remix from someone, they didn't like send me the drums or anything, but I sent like basically every single sound that I made from my, because I guess because I mixed it out like I sent like every channel, and I didn't feel like bouncing it again, so I just sent everyone like all the stems. And I feel like, and I was like, you know what, like surprised me. And it's funny because for Mr. Good, when DJ Glenn and Bruno Furlan did a remix of it, they there were sounds that I gave them that I don't remember even using in my original one. And I'm like, oh wait, this is, but I actually sent it to them. But that's even still cool. I like that. I like when weird, unique stuff like that happens. And they really crushed that remix. It's like a banger. So
that's cool.
I probably, like, I think out of all the tracks, Mr. Good has probably the most stems because it's 60 channels of tracks. And I probably almost gave them a heart attack, but
imagine opening that zip file.
You're like, it's an encyclopedia of one track. Yeah, oh my god, funny. Yeah, it got to a point where I, like, when I opened that track, it took 15 minutes to like open up.
No way.
Oh man.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, and then finally, I want to ask you a question. I ask lots of producers is for you, for our younger and aspiring producers, what five things does every producer need to know?
First, the first thing is have fun. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about becoming big. Just have fun. Feel it. Just feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Second thing is, if you want to get to a goal of like how you want your sound, or how do you want to make a track sound, like, obviously always get a track that you really like and just try and dissect it and transcribe that track in your mind and try and get to it. And three, EQ is your best friend. If you really want to get something sound good, just EQ everything accordingly. This is honestly one of the most important ones for me, because when it comes to EQing and like mix downs and everything, this is what I learned through an album, is make sure you keep your own integrity. Because like when it comes to the mix down of a track, like a lot of people don't realize this, but like when you give your track to someone to like mix it down, they're mixing it down to a standard stage, to a standard point where it's like, okay, this is supposed to sound like this. But like, I feel like when the mix downs change, it also changes your sound in some ways. Mm. And I think the most important one is to, you know, own the integrity of your mix downs, you know, learn it inside out, and don't assume that, you know, someone else can make it sound better after you're done with your track. Just learn it. It's so much better. Mm. And the second thing is, you don't need any hardware to make good music. And I know that a lot of people said this before.
Yeah.
You can probably make the craziest track with just, you know, Ableton and some soft synths. So, you know, don't go buying out like a giant 808 for $5,000 or like an 808 for $5,000 when you can just get samples of it, you know? Number five, I'd say send your music to your friends and stuff, and, you know, always get feedback. Oh yeah, feedback. You know, take feedback, and don't take every feedback literally. You know, some people have their own preferences. Mm-hmm. You know, just take everything with kind of a grain of salt. You know, because I've learned that, like, when I used to send my music out to people, and like friends, you know, they give me like such a big feedback, but sometimes, you know, that clouds over your own sound, you know. And at the end of the day, just you know if your gut's telling you this is good, then yeah, it's good, you know. Like if I'm dancing to this track that I'm making, then I know it's good, then I know it's actually working. So you know, just trust your gut, basically. That's what I would say.
Amazing. And then what have you got for the last rest? What's coming up next? What's after this? You mentioned earlier label and your own stuff.
I just had a couple of remixes come out. I did a remix for Herman Bergante that came out May. Doing a couple other remixes, one for Pesner, doing one for Bruno Furlan's album. Nice. But after that, I think I'm gonna start a record label, my own label, and start designing some new merch.
That'd
also
be cool.
So I'm all and just making some completely new music, and just I'm really excited to just start doing new things in the studio. and possibly making more drum and bass. Yeah. I feel like after I made the track Lifted, I mean, it opened so many doors. I just want to try and make different stuff in the sense, like, for example, when I did my album remix, I remixed my own track, I Can't Wait. I was like, I'm going to do like a completely fast electro.
Nice.
Just putting myself in places that I'm not comfortable. I feel like that's where I'm at. So
we might hear some clowncore from you next.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be testing the waters. So, new territories.
Wicked. Well, thank you, my friend. Yeah. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. It's been truly riveting and amazing to see you.
It's lovely to hear from you again, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, my friend. And I wish you the best for the year.
Yeah, I look forward for us to hanging out again soon when this is all over. And
yes, mate, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll see you soon. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have, please go, if you're listening to an Apple podcast, please go and give it a rating, give it a thumbs up, share it. It really helps the podcast grow on Apple Podcasts and help it goes up the chart, which means we can get bigger guests with bigger numbers, and which gives you more information and more tips. Thanks so much again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. I've been Graham Farmer. Bye-bye.